glad you guys are here tonight. Before we can get all wound up, I want to give a big shout out to Jimmy Hoare in front. And all those folks listening in tonight on the Disney Nerd Podcast.
Splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 352 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, well, on this second weekly show, we're going to be talking all about the changes happening in Disney World and, as we just found out before recording, Disneyland. Now, this is Ed, and to help me talk about this stuff, I've got a couple different people on the show tonight. First, let's start out with Morgan. Hey Morgan, how's it going?
Hey, Ed, I cannot keep my head straight with all this news. I don't know about you.
Oh, it's going left and right and up and down. And as you heard...
Every other way.
Right. And as you heard on show 351, there's so much news going on those park reservations. Well, this is just a continuation. Okay, we also have Jimmy with us tonight. Hey, Jimmy.
What is happening?
We're trying to figure that out.
I know, right?
You know, last night we did the... We did the live show, which we produced. Ed was nice enough to produce it also as a podcast because it was a very good discussion. And one of the things we talked about is every time we feel like we get news, seems like you wait a day and that news may change.
Or be modified. Wasn't that the term?
Yeah, it could be updated, clarified, changed, canceled. So
because today you said it out loud. It's happening.
Sure. Yep. Now, before we get too much further, we also have Sam with us tonight. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Dude, I am banging my head off of my desk. I just want to get out of here. This is driving me nuts. I got to get to Disney World. When can we go? Stop changing it. Let's go.
Don't hit the helmets.
No, I don't have the helmet on. I probably should have put it on before I did that, though.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Banging your head against the desk. Definitely put, don't listen to Morgan. Put the helmet on. If you're
No. Like I'm saying, like, don't hit the helmets and damage the helmet.
Well, she's saying put one of the football helmets on, not the Boba Fett or the Darth Vader. I understand what she's saying. Yes. But anyway, I just need to get out of here. Come on, man.
I know. Darth helmet.
Darth helmet. I can't breathe in this thing.
Bang, bang, bang.
I share your feeling, Sam, and with every new update, it just seems to get a little bit more difficult and further away, but yeah, hopefully soon.
Remember this started with, in 2 weeks, we'll be back. We're taking 2 weeks off.
No, remember when it started with, we weren't going to close? That's how it almost started. They stayed open right as long as they could have.
That was almost 4 months ago now. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Okay, so anyway, getting into the news real quick, what we heard tonight was that Disneyland have changed the opening dates. And when we say changed, that's even kind of misleading because they've actually canceled the opening dates for now and they haven't set what they're going to be.
Now, exactly.
Yeah. Now, there is something that is going to be opening up. Morgan, fill us in on that one.
So, they announced, maybe weeks ago, that on July 17th, Disneyland California Adventure was going to open. So, of course, they've taken that back. But everybody in California can still get to be able to go to Downtown Disney on July 9th. That is still good. That is still opening, in quotations, for now. Because, you know, things are always changing.
we talked about this before we recorded, but I mean, I think it's a very, very important point to make that this is not necessarily Disney's decision.
Right. Yeah, no, this is not on Disney at all.
Yeah, the state of California has not given them the guidelines that they need to follow to open, and is not going to till after July 4th.
Yep. So you can open an outdoor mall, but not a theme park. And that's why Downtown Disney will get opened.
Exactly. And the whole statement that Disney released, they did send to us. So we, of course, want to make sure that you guys get the information. So it is on our website, thedisneynerdspodcast.com. We got it out as soon as we got the email. And it says right there that because the state of California has not given them their reopening guidelines, they can't open on the 17th because they've got to give the cast members enough time to get back to work, to restart, to reset, and prepare for reopening the park with whatever guidelines California's going to give them, but right, they don't know what those guidelines are yet.
You know, how different can it be from Florida? I mean, granted, California seems just a little bit more, well, a lot more cautious, but I mean, I got to think the basics are going to be kind of 90% the same. Cleaning everything twice, having hand sanitizer before and after, everybody wearing masks, you know, the temperature taking, such like that. What else can you add to that whole mix?
Well, and I think the other part is this, is you're right. There's not a whole lot else you can do
right,
other than just not open, which is just not a sustainable track.
And you never know. California might throw them some kind of curveball in their protocol that Florida doesn't have, so they have to adjust to that. Oh, so.
Or maybe capacity. Maybe that'll screw them up where they can't get enough people to make it worth the while and have to design. Who knows?
Remember how much smaller Disneyland is than Magic Kingdom, even, right? The place was built in 1955. It wasn't designed for long queues.
True, you're right.
I think there's other things happening that
pretty crowded. Close together. Yeah. Close together is more the term, right?
And it's mostly annual pass holder. It's mostly locals. So it's completely different situation than Walt Disney World. Right. Just the fact you're in California and the variables are so much different.
Sure. We kept hearing, was it cast members or even some of the pass holders were petitioning to have it actually opened later. Although I'm not sure how big that was because there's one going in Florida now that's kind of small too. But you never know.
Obviously not scientific at all, but I know quite a few cast members. I don't know any that are like, no, we need to wait to open. Like every one of them that I know is chomping at the bit to get back to work.
Well, that's cool because, you know, people, if they're worried, you'd definitely be hearing it. And, our, you know, a lot of our friends are pretty level headed in that regard, and they're not going to push it, really, if they feel any type of issue.
That's right. Sure.
So. Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody that we know that's a cast member, if they don't feel safe, I think that they would speak up. And as a former cast member, Disney is not blind to their cast members. They want the cast members to be safe just as much as they want their guests to be safe. So I would think that Disney is going to do everything that they can within reason.
Sure.
To accommodate their cast members.
Where I work, you know, they gave a lot of people, if you considered yourself high risk, you could register as high risk, and they gave the high risk people a bunch of time off. Eventually, when it was time to come back to work, you didn't have to come back to work if you thought you were high risk. The company stopped paying you, and you could take any sick time, personal time, vacation time, any of your time that you've earned, PTO, you know, during the time. And then if you wanted to still stay home after that, you could. It just would be unpaid. So, you know, I think.
And that's what I'm actually reading. Like, these are unofficial reports, obviously. This is what I'm reading from what these cast members that don't want to go back to work, that want the opening to be prolonged, is that Disney is giving them the choice of, if you are high risk, same as what you just said, you can basically file for like a medical leave.
Mm-hmm. So I don't get the issue. So don't, if I'm a cast member and I'm a fine and healthy, like I know quite a few, and they're like, I'm ready to get back to work, then don't speak for me. Like, if you don't want to go back to work, don't go back to work.
Exactly.
Well, don't speak for me.
Well, you know what it is. They want
risk and move on.
They want job security, so they want to make a make sure if they're not going to go back to work that they still have a job. Whether that's feasible or not, that's not, you know, that you
can't. The ones who are saying they're high risk, they're putting them on a medical leave, so they're not going to lose their positions over it. Right. I think also I think you would have a lot less people fighting to go to stay away from work if that $600 a week federal unemployment benefit wasn't available.
Right.
So, because that makes people a little more comfortable. A lot of those people are making a lot of people that work frontline workers at Disney, just your everyday cast members, are making more money on unemployment right now than they made working. They're having that same issue with restaurant workers here. My daughter did not want to go back to work. She was
paid for it, but it's true.
Yeah, she was
making more money staying at home because she was getting her state unemployment, which is not much. It's maybe 100 and something, $200 a week. But with that extra $600 a week in COVID federal payment, she was making more money sitting at home, so she didn't want to go back to work. So I think a lot of those people are in the same boat too.
Right. Well, it doesn't look like that's working in Florida. It looks like everything's going straight ahead. We actually heard today at one of the Florida news conferences that they were not going to be relooking at the Disney plans to reopen to see if it's still valid or not. They were going ahead. So we'll have to see.
That's good, right?
That's good.
That's good.
And we'll see how it goes. I mean, we keep hearing news from some of the southern states, how numbers keep going up and down. Who knows? We still have 3 weeks until the opening begins, July 11th, 2 to 3 weeks.
The planned opening.
Right. So we'll have to see how it goes day by day. I think it would be so tough, unfortunately, for Disney to stop it again that they're going to have to really, really be in dire straits to stop it one more time.
I think that it would take a huge, and granted, there have been a lot of cases. Like, I'm in North Carolina, and we're now a hotspot.
Oh, hey, welcome. Welcome to the group.
Yeah,
from New Orleans and Philadelphia.
You guys cooled off and I got hotter down here, you know?
Yep.
But I think it would take a huge amount of cases. Like, I'm talking about, like, a ridiculous amount of cases for the governor to step in and kind of be like, hey, Disney, you guys got to close. Universal, you got to close. SeaWorld, you got, like,
by
no.
By the way, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, like it would take a ridiculous amount.
We all hope it doesn't.
I think it takes the county or the state to tell them not to open. I really do.
Well, and I think it's full state. Right, and I don't think that's going to happen unless they start to see something like the hospital starting to get overwhelmed. Earlier we were talking about capacity. Disneyland park capacity is about 85,000, and California Adventure is about 33,000.
Which, I mean, is nothing compared to Walt Disney World.
That's one part.
You know, the thing kind of lost in that at California Adventure is the opening of Avengers Academy, which was supposed to be happening around the opening, right? So I haven't heard anything regarding that.
No, so there haven't been any announcements out of Disney about that.
Yeah, that was supposed to be an opening mid-July.
Just to give you a little reference, the smallest capacity park in Walt Disney World is Hollywood Studios, and it has a capacity of 60,000, so double California Adventure.
That sounds like that's before Galaxy's Edge, but I'll take it. That's fine. It's the smallest.
This is based upon this is the Orange County Register on May 22nd, 2020 is the date of the article. Now, where the information came from before that.
But
Magic Kingdom, 90,000, Animal Kingdom, 60,000, Epcot, 110,000, and Hollywood Studios, 60,000.
Still a lot. Got a lot of people in there, man. Those World Showcase pavilions suck up a lot of people, don't they?
Oh, they do. And I tell you what, speaking of World Showcase pavilions, we're going to talk a little bit about the Food and Wine Show. I can't believe I'm actually having a Food and Wine review show in June.
Well, it's not Food and Wine, though, right? It's a taste of the Food and Wine Festival.
True. Very true. Which we've decided the taste of, and we've kind of seen some of the booths expected, just basically means light. late version, less boots.
Well, is it a late version, or is it a taste of every festival that we have that we didn't put things away for and merchandise that we have left over that we're going to sell through the summertime for the first time because we have it?
They didn't say a taste of Flower and Garden. They said a taste
of but it's going to start with topiaries and Flower and Garden merchandise.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I'd call it a hybrid. I'm pulling up our article.
Which,
now,
by the way, detailed at thedisneynerdspodcast.com. Go and read it. Morgan's been doing a great job of getting that stuff out there. Thank you, Morgan.
I'm trying to get everything out for you guys as much as I can. There's just so much.
And I can see just the way they're saying it and the way Sam was calling it the light version of it or the taste of. Well, that just means that in, I guess, the end of August, they'll throw in maybe 10 more if everything's working out all right, or another dozen, and make it true.
The options there, right? If they're not, you stick with what you have.
Right.
You have, we talked about this before, for Flower and Garden, there's maybe 17 booths, and for Food and Wine, there's 30-some. So now there's somewhere in between, and we'll sort of see where it goes. But the topiaries are still going to be out.
Right.
Which, let's face it, this whole thing started a week and a couple of days into the Flower and Garden Festival. So all those new topiaries, the Remy topiary, which is brand new, all the new things they did, the pass holder magnets, all those things they still have. So it's springtime in the summer.
Oh, sure. And
pass holder magnets, they're going to mail out to all APs. So I don't know if they'll be still handing those out.
Well, they're going to, they only going to mail out one.
There were two.
Yeah. They only said they're going to do one. They didn't say what they're going to do with the second magnet. But I mean, as far as
Orange Bird and Minnie, I'm guessing. I don't remember. I got the
Donald
one.
Or Daisy.
One of them was definitely Orange Bird.
We all got that one, right? The first one. Then it was going to switch halfway through the festival to its second magnet, which never happened.
So here's what Disney has said about the taste of Food and Wine. I call it a hybrid. So you guys make your decision. So they're going to have 20 global marketplaces, because remember, it's not just, you know, food booths. That's too common. They have to fancy it up with global marketplaces.
What do they call them? Global marketplaces. What are they? They're outdoor kitchens for Food and Wine. What were they for Flower and Garden Festival? They're outdoor kitchens. Are they marketplaces, or maybe they are? Okay. Food and Wine Festival.
Cool. Yeah, but that's what they're calling it. So there's going to be 20 of them, which, mm-hmm. I mean, we're used to 30 plus.
I think last year there was 27.
Yeah.
Because we counted them because we had to figure out for the lanyard which ones we would stop, you know, which ones were on our way for the half sample-thon.
So, okay. But you know what they had a lot more of is they have in the last 3 years villages. Like, you'll have that big, like, area of four different kiosks in a, you know, row up by where the Coca-Cola place was and things like that.
The new restaurants,
yeah, on the
new
green
Starbucks
right there. And the crossover in the World Showcase. So maybe that's going to be a lot less, and they're counting that. But anyway, yeah.
And that's what
they
say.
Did they share any names, Morgan, of what they would be, or just say that they'll be that many?
I don't have the names offhand.
Because I'm expecting, so if it's Pineapple Promenade or Trowel and Trellis or Primavera Kitchen, those are names from the Flower and Garden Festival, and thinking it won't be those.
Yeah, it won't be those. And they actually say that the 20 marketplaces are going to be spaced out throughout the park. So those little villages are...
You're right.
Kitchen's going to be one of them.
To Ed's point, right behind where Club Cool used to be, there was like the Fiery something and the vegan place, and all those were kind of
was up there, and it was like
all those were, they had like four different booths all in one place, so they're not going to do that because they don't want people congregating.
And they had another little one on the way to Canada on the main like passageway there, where you'd kind of go over there past, like, I guess Hawaii was over in that little corner before you got to it.
It's a chocolate thing over there. I know exactly
area gets so crowded to begin with, so I would expect there to be no food booth.
Yeah, I agree
right
with that.
There, because everything kind of just bottlenecks right there.
Right by the refreshment port.
Yeah.
And you did make a comment, though, based on what you said. You said around the park, not around World Showcase. And they're very specific in Food and Wine as far as World Showcase is the place to be.
So not now, anymore. Not a,
well, that's what I'm wondering is where are they going to be spreading them out? So now I'm thinking it's going to be like near Joffrey's over on, you know, Test Track side.
I bet the Test Kitchen is going to be one of them. The place right in front of Test Track. That's going to be one.
Yeah, they started that last year, though.
Right.
Right. Yeah, true.
So now there's the,
going to be the place. We also don't know what construction's going to look like up in the front when they reopen. Where's the paths going to be? What are we going
to
have?
Oh, that's true, too. The fountain, I forgot. Yeah.
And one way in, actually. One way out. Do you have to go in on the right and come out on the left? Because those are pretty narrow paths when around Spaceship Earth. But we're also hearing Spaceship Earth isn't going to be closed. It's going to be opened. And that is off the table, the redo.
And they actually did announce that. That's another thing that got announced this week, is that it is on hold. And that's an official from Disney. The refurbishment, the revamping, the whatever you want to call it, is on hold.
Of everything or just Spaceship Earth?
Spaceship Earth.
Okay. Anything that wasn't started, which makes me think, I don't know if Journey to Waters, did they start that officially?
I don't think so.
And there's no word on that one.
And you can take the Epcot preview and just throw that away.
You can. So let's talk about that for a second, because We know the space restaurant was well underway. Hopefully that's going to come. We know the Play Pavilion and Guardians Coaster are coming.
And Ratatouille.
Any word on the space restaurant? Because that was pretty close from what I understand.
Yeah, that's probably still going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but they were far enough along. They're not just going to ditch the plans on that, I don't think.
But that was also based on getting into an elevator and taking off into space.
I still think
one party at a time?
Party at a time, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Still think you do that one party at a time.
But we also don't know how far along they were.
Right.
I think they were far enough along, though, that they're not just going to ditch it.
No. I'm not saying they're going to ditch it.
I don't know when it's going to open, but I don't think, like, Cherry Tree Lane's probably not going to happen.
But I'm guessing right now, like today, this morning, there were people in there working in all those things we talked about.
Sure.
They're in the Play Pavilion. They're in the Space Restaurant. They're in Ratatouille and Guardians.
Say yes.
And which is good. Get it done.
I am also just so you guys know, and I shared it with some of you guys, but you know, I'm Facebook friends with Miss Carol Stein.
Yes.
Who's a friend of the show, also known
friend
as
of the show,
Piano Lady in the Rose and Crown. Who's been on the show. She's done. We get to interview her.
Yes.
So she put out on her Facebook that she will be returning to perform at Epcot the week of July 15th. But she will not be performing in the Rose and Crown Pub. She will be playing the piano and singing songs under the beautiful gazebo in the English Gardens in the UK Pavilion.
That's awesome.
Would that perhaps mean the Rose and Crown might not be open?
No, I think they just don't want people crowding to see her
and staying in there. That makes sense.
The restaurant, the Rose and Crown, is definitely the restaurant will definitely be open because it wasn't on the list. But the bar is probably going to be open too. They just don't want. That's a small venue. If she's playing,
you can also close the door and control how many people go in.
I was going to say they also have the outside bar there too, so they do have an option.
Yeah.
Well, so now that she'll be playing back where British Revolution played,
that would be nice.
Which gives you a lot of room back there to spread out, have a pint, and watch her play.
Fish and chips.
I love the idea.
And she did say on her Facebook page, because I also shared it on our Facebook page when I saw the announcement, that as soon as she knows her schedule, she'll post it. So, of course, when she knows it, we'll post it too.
The fish and chip spot is one of the places that will not be open.
Oh, no way.
Yep. I imagine maybe you could order it at the bar at Rose and Crown and carry it out.
I'm trying to think.
I imagine you can mobile order it from somewhere. I think there's going to be a lot of that.
Maybe the bar.
Know what I mean? And I think if you go around, this is going to accelerate mobile ordering, and I'm good with that.
Yeah. And actually, over at Magic Kingdom, the breakfast at Be Our Guest is not back.
No, flipped the lunch to a table service.
And honestly, I'm actually glad the breakfast is not back, because I have not heard anything good about the breakfast at Be Our Guest.
I've heard it was a terrible value.
It's not worth the money.
It is not. Absolutely not. You're better off with a thing of Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
That's just me.
It is interesting that they're taking the lunch and making it a table service. Maybe that's just easy. You know what? That place is just really big.
Well, but think about that line for lunch that you had going in there.
And you have to order you have to stop and order your food. Then you have to go get your own sodas.
Yes, it was
so
jammed.
Maybe that's the part of it that you're trying to avoid. Yeah. And you're just going to your table and the waiter's doing everything, or waitress.
Yep.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about that last night, about, you know, them starting Food and Wine this early, and it totally makes sense for them to do something like that, just for the idea of social distancing. all those little booths serving food make more sense than having people try and all go eat at, you know, four or five locations.
There has never been a festival in July, August, or early September in Epcot ever.
Yeah, it's true.
But, and a part of that's because I think there's a lot of people around World Showcase. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people around World Showcase.
No. That's true. They didn't have a festival during the summer because you didn't need a festival for summer. Because it was
And it was packed. You didn't have room for the booths. You needed it for people.
Now, yeah, that's a good point.
And it's cool that they're keeping the topiaries from Flower and Garden because that way people can see them. They will have a scavenger hunt. They're going to do the Remy's Ratatouille Hide and Squeak from Food and Wine.
Okay, so they're not doing Buzz's pollination exploration?
Nope. They're doing Remy's coming.
The Remy topiary should be there too. Yeah, that's
yep. Cool. And they even talk about the Remy topiary. When they talk about the topiaries being there.
They did or they did not?
They did.
They did, yeah, because that's
they mentioned that
right in front of where the attraction queue is going to be.
It's awesome. I'm very happy they're going to have the topiaries. I'm happy because I want to go see them, and I think they're cool. Right. I think the other part is, though, that team, man, they worked their butts off to get ready for that festival. For them to... you know, to have to open up and not have anybody see, you know, or not very many people see all the work that they've done putting those topiaries together. Yeah.
They've been in there every day watering that stuff multiple times a day, man.
And they have done this.
Crews of two people or one.
They have done this before, though. I do remember times after they got done with the Flower Garden, they would put the topiaries different places. Like Mickey and Minnie, I think I saw pictures from you, Sam. They ended up behind Spaceship Earth at one point.
They ended up over to Hollywood Studios before, and they'll end up at Downtown Disney sometimes. You'll see them at Disney Springs, a topiary here or there.
I've seen Lady and the Tramp at Boardwalk.
There you go. Yeah, nice. They kind of move them around, which is cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Did any of you take the time to watch the Tim Tracker video I sent you?
I didn't know you sent it to me, so I'm going to say no.
I've been covering all this news, man. I can only.
She's been covering
so
news, and I've been trying to get work done. But
I sent it in the group message. It was about the bus situation. He took a ride from Disney Springs on the buses the way they're set up now, to Boardwalk and then to Grand Floridian.
Mm-hmm.
But did some video around Boardwalk, and it's eerie.
Oh hell, nobody's there.
Yeah, just the fact he's like it's almost like. Like you're doing like an abandoned park video. Right. There's nobody's there.
I saw somebody do a live video today at the Polynesian, and there was nobody there.
Well, sure.
It was creepy.
I was unaware. You guys said that the values are all still not announced yet, which I didn't.
Well, Pop Century's announced, but the other three.
Yeah.
Well, Dolphins not yet either, but that's because soccer's taken that over, right? MLS is the Swan and Dolphin.
Oh, are they?
Oh, I heard they were on a separate schedule, but I didn't know why.
Well, here's an interesting thing. So one of the group that I'm in is a Run Disney group. And, of course, the week before our meetup is the Wine and Dine Race, which, as of right now, is still happening.
Oh, okay.
But people who have their reservations to see on property, they're getting emails that says, your resort is not going to be open for your trip. You can move to a different resort.
Wow.
Or you can upgrade to a deluxe.
They already
and of
know
course
now.
Pay the difference.
Ah, the pay the difference is what I was after. I didn't want to hear that.
I am really, really wondering what's going to happen with us as a group.
Yeah.
Because we have a group room contract that you can still... If you want to book a group room, you can call and book right now because it's different than the availability. Because when you do the group contract, they consider whatever that block is part of the taken availability already. So I'm wondering, you know, if Movies doesn't open, what do they do? I think they move us to Coronado.
I don't think
they make you pay the extra.
I don't know. Well, we're hoping the same thing as far as the meetup, the fireworks, dessert party, the drinking party, too.
It could just be a drinking party.
Yeah.
It was going to be that anyway.
Come I would say, has it not been every other year?
I know, but we were really hoping for Harmonious.
This is true, and I think that's off the table.
I mean, who knows? Who knows? Sure. Epcot, I mean, depending on when they eventually, you know, start to go back to fireworks, Epcot Forever, they may say, you know what? We're starting fireworks this date, and it's going to be Harmonious, and we're not doing Epcot Forever again.
I would be fine with that.
Yeah. for the private party, though, I mean, it would be nice if there were fireworks.
Well, sure.
But if not, we'll live. It'll still be worth attending regardless.
So we also got some news that it appears that any of the buffet restaurants are now family style. Chef Mickey's and the Beer Garden and a few
I was
others.
About to say only two.
Only those two?
Those two. Beer Garden and the others aren't opening. Chef Mickey's have announced that they will open, and they're going to open as family style. Any other of the buffets, that could be the route they take, but there's been no announcement about those opening.
What's a Tusker House? Is that a buffet?
Yeah.
Because that wasn't on the opening list.
Yeah, no other buffets were open. The only two buffets that were said they were going to open is Beer Garden and Chef, and
like
Chef
to say
Mickey's.
That.
And they're going to do family style, which is fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but Beer Garden's going to be interesting because they have those long tables you share with other families. I don't know if that's going to happen anymore.
No. They may, but space
you're further, be further spaced away. Apart, right.
Well, even if you had, because there's I want to say eight chairs on those seats. If you had a party of two at either end, that I don't think that's not 6 feet.
Party per table. And here's the other side is you got to separate them between tables too. So you're going to have rows of tables
on
between.
Every other table too.
Yeah. Interesting times.
Does it even pay for them to open it though?
Well, they have to, I guess, open something.
Only at Disney prices does it pay for them to open.
Right.
That's exactly right, Jimmy. If it was in New Orleans or Pittsburgh, it wouldn't be worth opening.
It wouldn't be worth
Well, I think we were pretty amazed that they were opening so many restaurants, though. I was pretty... because there's only, like, maybe, like you said, the buffets that aren't opening. I didn't go over the list too specifically as far as Epcot and the sit-downs and things like that. But I saw definitely a lot of the counter services.
Casey's Corner is not going to be open. I'm very... upset.
Think about
that's interesting because I thought
though.
You could do the.
That is
the,
a standing room only type restaurant, even with a low amount of people.
Yeah, but you could do. Well, remember they just bolted all those seats. We're bolted to the seats.
That was another interesting thing about the boardwalk on Tim Tracker's video. On the boardwalk, there's the benches that face the water, but there was another bench that was back to back. So the benches were back to back. One would face the building, one would face the water.
Yeah.
The ones facing the building were all unbolted and removed.
That makes sense.
Sure.
Interesting.
Well,
that's the thing about Disney. When you go to a local restaurant and you know they got the chair stacked up on the tables in the corner. Disney, they just disappear.
Yeah, it's just gone.
You know, every other one's gone. So it still looks good. It looks fine.
Yeah.
Right. It's just fine.
Yeah. The other thing is, you know, you think about the boardwalk and you think out about, you know, in front of like Abracadabra.
Yeah.
And just how much space, even the restaurant, you just think about how much space outside they have to put tables, even distance.
Right.
They can still take a lot of people. You can't do that at your average restaurant because you can't go onto the sidewalk and you can't go onto the street. Well, Disney can because it's their street and it's their sidewalk. So, and World Showcase, they can impede the path a little bit and put some tables here and there so people can spread out.
Right.
I'm excited, Ed. I'm excited to be in Epcot with you, drinking a Carl's combo, me, you, and Ian.
Oh, I can't
Nate,
wait.
Sam, trying to get Sam to go.
Yep.
Where are you going to be drinking that? Because it's not going to be the bar.
No, we're going to be watching Miss Carol.
Back. They're gonna be walking
in the back. Yes. Sure. I'm there. Yeah. That's awesome. That's
nice. And even even if she wasn't playing, I'd be sitting out in the lagoon. They have those outside wings on the Rose and Crown on either side,
By the water
with the trees. It's a beautiful area.
Absolutely. Like I wouldn't. You could not even have an attraction in the park. Just let me go to Rose and Crown, grab a Carl's combo, and go sit out by the water right there, and just chill out.
Right.
If you think about it, how many times have you walked into Epcot and actually walked out not riding a single ride?
A lot of times.
Exactly.
Sure.
At Epcot, yes.
At Epcot, for sure. I mean, a lot of times I don't even enter. A lot of times I go to Epcot and leave Epcot without even going to Future World.
Yeah, that's just the walk if you're there for the evening.
Yeah, you just walk through Internet, keep the Skyway and Skyliner and hop in through the Internet.
I want to get back there. Come on, I'm going to be banging my head again here.
Yeah. Even
put the helmet on.
Even before that, like if me and Kim were going to meet friends at Epcot, you know, we wouldn't take the bus and walk all the way back to World Showcase. We would grab an Uber to Boardwalk and walk to World Showcase, but that way.
Yeah,
definitely. I wonder if that's going to be a big thing too now. Are the minis still going to be around? The minivans and all the other stuff. So people are going to be blowing off buses and
Uber. And I was just going to ask Jimmy that question. You were down there on your recent trip, Jimmy. Were you able to Uber? How did that work?
Uber was fine. They don't allow. They ask you to wear a face mask. They don't allow. They won't allow anyone to sit in the front seat next to the driver. So you have to sit in the back seat.
Okay,
that's fine. That makes sense.
Other than that, that was pretty much it. It was fine.
Yeah, I don't see minivans being affected at all, except for like doing that same kind of rule, like, you know, you can't sit in the front seat, just because, I mean, that is a good way to social distance.
Right. Yep. And the Skyliners, I really feel like it's the best, probably, for the situation we're in, it's probably the best mode of transportation.
Oh, sure. Skyliner?
Yeah, because they can just limit it to one party per vehicle.
Right. Yeah.
And even the Skyliners are pretty big with masks in either side of it. But yeah, one family definitely solves the problem. Yeah.
And honestly, there's ways that they can sanitize the Skyliners between passengers. So it's just figuring out that system. Like, we got my mom's car washed here, and they did something in the interior. Like, they had a poster up about, you know, we've sprayed this whatever it's called, and it gets rid of like 98% of viruses and germs and blah blah blah. So Disney just has to get something like that, spray the Skyliner down, and it's ready for the next party.
And I don't think you have to do it every everybody would want the handrail wiped every time the blast person touched it, but that's just not feasible. So I don't think you need it, you know, sprayed every time. But instead of getting sprayed once a day like it was, if it's getting sprayed 3 or 4 or 5 times a day, it's obviously going to be much cleaner, you know?
And that's the thing, is how often are these things going to be cleaned, and how do you pick that fine line between too much, too little? Like, how do you figure out that just right?
Well, there's never too much unless you're holding up the line. Other than that, keep it going. Keep spraying. But I think it's going to still fall upon the people themselves, us, to wash our hands. You know, you're not going to be touching your face. You're not licking your fingers. You're not, even if they washed it every time you got onto it, you should still be washing your hands, not touching your face, doing all that stuff anyway. So,
if what was going on at Universal is going to be what this is, like what Disney does, they're going to be somebody there before you get on the Skyliner squirting hand sanitizer in your hands.
Yeah, so bonus.
Just like a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh. Just like getting out of a Fay Line on a cruise if you've done it. So, they say everybody's got to get their hands.
Yeah, the last couple cruises were like that.
And can we just point out the fact that the Disney hand sanitizer little bottles that you can put on a keychain, those are probably going to be like skyrocket out of the stores.
I got a Darth Vader one somewhere.
I know.
And like, I got a Kylo Ren at Character Premiere, believe it or not.
Probably should sell it more than one.
That one I'd sell, not the Vader. That's not going anywhere.
Gotcha. I still have a feeling that we're going to get some, for people staying in the hotel rooms, you're going to get some little like package when you get there. Thing, hand sanitizer, maybe even a mask.
Yeah, kind of like when they did for, Zika? They had bug spray and stuff in the rooms.
Right. Yep.
Or wipes.
I have seen some images of Grand Floridian face masks that were given out at check-in.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yes. Sure.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Something like that. Meaning it's going to be Disney-fied. It definitely makes it so that everybody's masks are going to be more uniform.
Yeah.
Either way. And it's a nice souvenir in those weird times we're dealing with.
You know what? You're absolutely right, Ed. It is.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that last night, but me and Sam talked about that on the phone, is that we were talking about just this trip, and I know that it's going to be different. It's not going to be your standard trip when I go down next month and with Ed and Ian, but I mean, just for memory and posterity sake, and just saying we were there and we got to go experience it in this weird freaking time. I mean, that's
something. Oh, no doubt. You know, it's like you said it in the last show. It's almost like the hurricane show. It's like the hurricane trips. It's you'll never experience anything like that. Well, this one has a little bit of an edge to it, but you know, other than that, yeah.
Basically, this is one, Ed, where here's my request if I can't make it, and I'm making this request on behalf of all of our listeners. I want to hear an audio recording of security going through how you scanned your ticket. I want the time capsule, because I don't know that this will happen again. Oh, if no I'm doubt. There, I'll have my recorder, but we need that.
We'll have to see how hairy it is going through security. That's still one of my concerns, is just how they're going to do that part of it, too.
I think audio, you're fine. They definitely ask that you don't video anywhere around.
Right, and that's what I was going to say, too. It's like
security. I think audio, though, you'd be fine.
Yeah, I agree totally. Plus, we'll be able to talk about it. So we're going to be going down that first week, which is kind of cool. The day
is so. Have you Studios made? Opens. Can I open a can of worms here, Ed? Have you made your reservations for the park?
It's a big can of worms. as you guys heard in the last show, basically I had issues in that I had a June trip scheduled for 3 days, so I'd gotten my 3-day hopper pass. Now, when I changed the reservation to the July reservation, I got it for the same 3 days in Saratoga, and then I added 3 days at the Pop. Now, almost literally the day after, or the 2 days after, they put a freeze on everything. So I was never able to get my 3-day hopper adjusted to a 6-day hopper for the full 6 days I was going to be in July. Didn't realize the implications of that fully until, well, I tried to make my reservations for the parks. I got my 3 for the 3-day pass I had already, and no luck on the other 3 days. So
can I make you feel just a little bit better?
Yeah, go ahead.
Even if they wouldn't have frozen everything, you still can't turn that 3-day ticket into a 6-day ticket until you're there.
The idea now is I have definitely those first 3 days, so I'm still going. That's not in discussion anymore. The second set of three days at the Pop, I'm going to have to see as we go on. So now it's 3 days into the reservations, and Hollywood Studios is still gone for that first 2 days, I think it was. And the last 3 days of my trip, it's still green. So we're going to have to see. Tomorrow it opens up for annual pass holders. And the I think it's three more days, and it opens up to regular ticket holders. So I don't know how it's going to last and what's going to happen.
Now, with that being said, it is my understanding that when they open it up tomorrow for annual pass holders, they have their own availability that they're picking from.
So now, when you look at the website, you look at that section for the park reservations for you guys that haven't seen it yet. And at the top of that page now, there's three buttons. That is for the resort stay, for annual pass, and for just general tickets, was it?
Day
pass.
General public. So anybody with like a day pass, anybody with like a 3-day or 4-day ticket that doesn't have a hotel reservation.
Right. So I'm thinking now when you click on the button, you'll see your own calendar then. So the annual pass will have its own calendar. The resort has its own calendar.
I think that's true. Right. So if you're, I think that's true.
See, now the other side of the coin for me is that I'm hoping this is so close to a fast pass that this still might be still treated as a fast pass when we get there. Meaning I can get there, I'm at the resort, I tell them that my two friends have gotten park reservations that I'm linked up to in my Disney experience, and my whole sob story behind that, and there might be a possibility, like, you can get somebody on your fast pass, you might be able to get the park reservation.
It
depends how real critical they're going to be on those numbers, whether they're giving themselves a 100 or a 200 person bump where they can kind of do shit like that, or if they're going to be so anal about the specific numbers, it's not going to matter. And what makes it even more like kind of frustrating for me right now is that it's a nightmare to even find somebody to talk to. It took me 2 days to finally get through to the helpline to where I got an actual message as opposed to a busy signal or a busy circuit message. And then it was still an hour and a half, 2 hours before I got to talk to somebody who unfortunately couldn't help me.
When you got through, they couldn't help.
Right, and she did everything she could.
Do you have one of your park days at Hollywood Studios right now?
Yeah, the first one. Which is great because I was like kind of bumming. It's like, oh shit, it's the first day it's going to be open. But I'm like, well, it's not general crowds. It's a specific number of people, so it'll be fine regardless.
It seems to me, and if I was to make a beer bet on it, once you get down there and you extend your ticket, I feel like you'll be able to get into probably two of the four parks. In other words, I think.
Yeah, but you know what?
It's likely that Hollywood, you won't go back to Hollywood Studios because it seems to be where everybody wants to go because that's sold out.
Well, that was 9/10 of the reason why I was going on the trip in June, was trying
but
to get a little.
But you do have that already, though.
Sure.
I have my first day.
Definitely. Yeah. I'll take advantage of that and just make the plan. Oh, yeah. I'm actually now probably going to get down to Orlando on the 14th and get like a shit hotel nearby. And then basically just go to the park when it opens up at like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, and then just start the day that way, and then check in at 4 or 5 whenever the hell the room is ready.
As your travel agent, I would recommend if you're gonna fly in the 14th.
I'm driving.
Oh, so you're driving all the way down?
Yep.
Oh, so it doesn't matter. Never mind.
Yep.
I thought you were flying.
You could swing this way first.
Well, that's the other consideration, though, Jimmy, too, is that...
And pick Sam up. Oh.
Yeah, I know,
and
right?
And then grab Morgan when you go down through.
Well, I could actually kind of reroute through. And actually, if Megan's listening, we can go through Tennessee, too. I'm sure it's kind of like a little zigzaggy, but we could definitely.
You know, yeah.
I'll make sure I bring the van.
Philadelphia, Western PA, Tennessee, North Carolina. You might as well go to New Orleans, dude.
Right. And I tell you what, the van just brought up another kind of thought. And I saw this right before we started tonight. And this is a little off topic, but you know what? We're almost done for tonight. And one of the kind of small segments I want to try to do each show is what we're watching on Disney Plus, because I think it's so cool. There's so much that I found out, so much information by people sharing what they're watching with me, that I thought we can kind of do this. And I saw the trailer. They're bringing Muppets Now to Disney Plus.
This is like the Muppet Show, right?
Exactly.
But for Disney Plus.
Correct. And they'll be having some great guests, and the trailer's out there on YouTube, and we'll try to post a link for it. And I'm so looking forward to this.
Yeah,
me too. I didn't realize you were driving. So my point was going to be that is if you fly in and you fly in early, like you fly in a day early,
mm-hmm.
you see if you can stay at the Sheraton that's in the airport.
Oh, okay.
Because then you can still utilize the Magical Express the next morning. They don't care.
Oh, gotcha. Just get a bus over there.
Oh, I didn't know that was an option. So you could actually do it the next morning and stay there.
If you let them know, hey, I'm flying in the day before, but I'm going to need Magical Express on this day, you can stay in the hotel in the
airport. That's an awesome little tip there, Jimmy.
Yeah, so it saves you the Uber. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you may pay a little bit more to stay in that hotel than you would, you know, some random hotel in Orlando, but you don't have to. You can take the Magical Express, which saves you.
Right. So now here's the other side for me, just real quick, finishing up. If for whatever reason I do get down there and I can't get any park days, well, I'm driving, so I'm not pressured by a plane reservation to either go back or forth, or I don't have to make it for the 3 days and such. So it might be a little bit maybe Universal or SeaWorld. So we'll see.
That's awesome.
I know, but to even think I have to consider that based on this, it kind of sucks.
I don't think you
I don't think so either.
No. But. And also, you got to think about it. So think about it as like a dining reservation. Most of the time when you're making those initial dining reservations for your trip months in advance, you kind of grab anything and everything you can. And then people start to drop it off. I feel like that's kind of, I feel like that's kind of what's going to happen with these reservations.
Point. People do cancel, and then a new availability will open.
Sure, hopefully that'd be great. I really, and it's like Michelle, who's on 351, was on live with you guys last night. I'm kind of like her in that I'd like to know it all beforehand because again, there's just so much normally on a trip to Disney World you're trying to deal with anyway. So this is just that extra crap.
I would also just take a little solace in the fact that it is Disney. And to your point that you said earlier, you know, I'm like the fast pass thing. I'm just going to go and plead my case.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think you'll walk away. I don't know. Look, if you're saying, you know, I really want to go to Hollywood Studios, I don't know if that'll happen. But I don't know. I really, with Disney, I don't think you're going to walk away unsatisfied. Like, they may not be able to get you in the Hollywood Studios, but
right.
Well, I think they would find something to appease you and make you happy.
Oh, yeah. And again, it's just like the little bit of the unknown factor. Could this be so critical on their attendance per person, and they're literally on down to like...
There's a hard line.
10 up and down or something like that. So, yeah, whatever. We'll see.
But, you know, I mean, look, so the thing was, the deal was, when if you had a boarding group for Rise of the Resistance and you, for some reason, the ride went down and you didn't call your boarding group and you were supposed to, they would give you a park hopper, a one-day park hopper, and a fast pass for the next day.
Mm-hmm. And Sam, if you worked your system right, you might be able to get it for some other people, too.
So Sam ended up, went and talked to him and said, look, a park hopper doesn't help me. I'm an annual pass holder. And they're like, well, how can, you know, what would make you happy? So I think, I mean, you've got to remember we're dealing with Disney. I really don't think, I don't want you to stress out about it.
Right,
but I do like the fact that you have a contingency plan to make you feel better about it going into it.
Oh, yeah. Well, no doubt. And that's, like I said, I thought about flying just to avoid the drive. But now I'm like, well, if I drive, I could be a nice leisurely drive down and back, and I can kind of hang out in Orlando. Yeah. So we'll see.
Which is nothing wrong with.
And there's plenty to do in Orlando, and even on Disney property, because you're going to have resorts that are open. So, worst case scenario, if you cannot get into the parks, that's a good time to explore the resorts, because you've got a car and you can drive to the resorts instead of having to wait for a bus or an Uber.
But if I'm staying at the Pop at a hotel and I'm paying, I got to go to parks. Got to go to parks. Half days, yeah, maybe, but we'll see. But again, you know, positive thoughts, Moriarty.
Spend a little time at the pool.
Yeah,
I really don't think it's going to be an issue. Look, I'm going to be there with you. So, obviously, I want you to be in the parks. You know what I mean?
No shit. I get it. Well, and again, that's why I'm hoping it's going to work the whole fast pass method. And we'll see.
With that being said, look, me and Ian's plans are pretty flexible. So, like, if we're scheduled to go, when you extend your ticket and we're, you know, the next day we're scheduled to go, because we're going to handle this the day you get there. So, you know, if we're scheduled to go to Magic Kingdom and they can't get you into Magic Kingdom, but we have to go to Epcot, well, I'm not mad because we have to spend an extra day at Epcot. We'll just all go to Epcot. We'll have them switch us all and...
Right.
We'll just go to the Rosen Ground.
And just in 2 seconds on the technology, I still can't figure out why they couldn't do anything ahead of time, why I have to be physically in person down there at guest services. I haven't used the ticket yet. It's literally on their website only. It hasn't been used other than assigned to me, and it can be unassigned from me. It's not like my permanent annual pass or whatever.
Well, that was one of the things I was telling you, is that if, like, say, Quinn... The issue is they're not selling tickets right now.
Right. Well, yeah, I know.
Because let's say Quinn was going to go down with you in November. You could take unassigned that 3-day Parker from you, that park hopper from you, and put it to him, and then just buy a 6-day ticket, and you'd be fine. But the problem is right now they're not selling tickets.
Right. Right.
Which is crazy to think that.
And again, well, because I had the hotel reservations and I already had a ticket, I thought I might have had some leeway. That's why I did the waiting. I had to at least try that, because if I didn't try it, then I would have not known. And I've heard of weirder things. That's what I'm saying. I've heard of
if you would have had a package, you probably would have had flexibility.
Yeah, I did discuss that with her. Whatever. Okay, enough of that, guys. I tell you what, we had some great news. We're definitely looking forward to the opening of Walt Disney World. We're waiting to find out about the opening dates for Disneyland. Hopefully they'll come up with some announcements sooner than later. And we're looking for a little taste of food and wine.
Sam, are you coming or not?
Flip a coin, dude.
Damn it.
Flip a coin. That's the best I can do right now.
It's a Disney Nerds podcast COVID meetup.
Sure, it's a meetup planning trip. Call it that.
Yeah,
call it anything you want.
And that's why
you know I don't need much of a reason, right?
You know how much content I'm going to really grab?
Oh, you're throwing the content card at him. That's a low blow.
The question is, I don't know. I still got a lot of content I'm going through, though. Let me tell you that.
Definitely. Yeah. But this is, this is a research. This is new content, very relative. And, dude, it's
I get it. I get it.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
You're pushing all the right buttons on Sam, like new content, you know.
He's trying to stand strong, but I feel him cracking under the pressure.
Okay, guys. So what do you think? Are you going back to the parks right after they open? Or are you going to hang out and wait to see how it goes? We want to hear from you. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 352. What do we want to call this one? The new news on opening up of the Walt Disney World parks.
The new news that will be old news tomorrow.
Well, yeah. That's why we'll have 353, so we'll be able to keep on going. Before we finish, guys, don't forget, go back and listen to show number 350, the contest show. We had a great, really cool anniversary of 350 shows. And to celebrate, we put together a good contest. Now, one of the things we haven't discussed tonight, but it was discussed last night, was that the pre-shows probably aren't going to be around for us when we open up the parks again. There's so many of them that are just so confined that they're probably just going to have people walk through it. Well, in lieu of that, go ahead and listen to 350. We put together 13 of our favorite pre-shows. And if you go ahead, listen to those, list them in an email in order, and send it to us at contest@thedisneynerdspodcast.com. You'll enter our contest. Check out 350 for further rules. And the contest closes July 12th.
Ed, you want to make a beer bet that the stretching room is operational?
I think it has a good chance to be, but you can't really socially distance in there. But it depends how many people are on it.
Yeah, it's a beer bet for sure, Jimmy. I'll take it.
I was going to say, right, I kind of think we're going to be walking through, too. They might keep the music going and keep the narration going, but I think we're probably going to walk right through. And
I can't wait to find out.
You know why I don't think so?
Why?
Because there's such a bottleneck on the other side. I think they can't keep
No,
you.
No.
Well, they'll keep the line the whole way.
Social distance straight through there, right to the Doom Buggies.
I agree.
So where they normally take the handicap, you're not going to walk down and back. You're going to go straight in, right into the Doom Buggy. You're going to be social distance with your 6-foot markers all the way out to the Columbia Harbor House, all the way in, straight through the stretching room, straight to the Doom Buggy.
I was going to say the Wawa line or the Target line, you know, the stores.
I don't think so.
That's our beer bet then. Ed, well, you got to be.
And again, I told you guys, 353 might even be the show where we come back. I think we can kind of go ride by ride and do these estimates because I'm really curious to see what we think ahead of time and what they actually do.
Me too.
So we'll see. Okay, guys.
But I'm taking that bet. I want a Carl combo.
You got it. Carl's combo bet. Going to the line. I like it.
See, but I'll win the first one, then I'll buy the second one. So it doesn't matter. But it's okay.
It's fine.
You just got to keep betting.
It all evens out.
If Ian was here, he would say it's a gentleman's bet for a dollar.
Yeah, sure. That works too.
It's just not as fun.
Ian trying to be classy with the gentleman's bet.
Well, it's ironic because the gentleman's bet's a gentleman's bet. It's not for a dollar.
I was going to say, yeah.
That's why it's like an oxymoron. There's no gentleman's bet for a dollar. A gentleman's bet, no money.
Right.
All right, Quaharini.
Kongaloosh.
Got it pretty close. I've got him pretty close.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
Good night, everybody.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals bet.